Well, we're looking at a man named Paul. Just think about it. He's been accused of already starting two riots. Remember back in the earlier part of Acts chapter 21, he came down from Ephesus. He had a love offering, which, you know, different people, Luke and Timothy and others, had gotten from the churches there in Asia. He came down and he was going to do a Nazarite vow, something very special to him only, between him and God. All of us have our own ways of worshiping the Lord in truth and in spirit. So when he got to Jerusalem, you had the church meet him there, and the head of the church, James. And of course, when he went to the temple, he was accused, and he was warned not to go there. And the church in Ephesus, they told him, don't go there, Paul. Trouble's coming. We here today, we're not looking for trouble, are we? We're not. We don't want to be troublemakers. It's the last thing we want to do. We want to avoid problems. Or when problems do come our way, we hit them what? Head on. Give them a headbutt, right? The Lord Jesus Christ. One of the ways to learn how to street fight a long time ago, you use your head, okay? We call it headbutting. But, you know, God wants us to deal with our problems through the Spirit of Christ. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle against principalities and those in high places. So here was Paul. He went into the temple and he was accused of something he didn't do. He was accused by bringing a Gentile with him, which would profane the temple. And so it had gotten a lot of the Jews upset. And unfortunately, people can't prove anything against somebody. They make things up. So the reason why I'm telling you all this is to tell you that. And what happened was next is that you had a riot start, and then God had, through Fort Antonius, the captain of the guard, saw what was going on, and he rescued Paul, and they brought him to let him to speak there at the fort's steps, gave a testimony, and of course, when he mentioned the word Gentile, that got them even more upset. So sometimes in battles in life, you can't win, right? You do the best you can. People are always looking for something to beat you over the head with, to cripple you, to knock you out. So, but that didn't stop him because he had the Spirit of the Lord. And, you know, we wrestle, we fight in the Spirit. So, there he was locked up. And he was locked up, remember now, for the next 5 years. He was under guard. And so they thought, well, if we lock up Paul, well, you know what we're going to do? We're going to go ahead and scourge him. We're going to beat the truth out of him. And Paul was just like, hey, I come from this one town, and my daddy was a Roman citizen. And, you know, oh boy, the captain of the guard found out, and he was shocked. He was horrified because by Roman law, did you know this, that when they crucified somebody, that was the lowest of lowest of criminals. But if you were a Roman citizen and you were caught, let's say, for murder or something terrible, they would chop your head off. That was the least of what they could do to you if you were, you know, that way. But if you were a horrible, horrible person, you were crucified. That's how the Roman mindset worked. That was the way it was in Caesar's time. So you have Paul then. He was just like, okay, here I am, locked up in jail. And he had a wonderful opportunity to meet with the Sanhedrin. Oh, there are my Pharisee friends, because I was a Pharisee too. And remember, historians tell us there's maybe a little over 600 Pharisees. So you had to be the cream of the crop. You had to have that, as the kids said, which rocked. So you had this man, and he was standing there, and Ananias, the reason why I'm bringing this up, because see, in verse 1, Ananias is the one who started all this. Paul was like, after a while, I've had enough, I'm going to appeal this to Caesar. So as Roman Caesar, it's like going to the Supreme Court, I've had enough, I'm going to go to the governor, Felix. And if that doesn't work out, and as we know, Festus came along after 2 years, because Felix was a good politician. He didn't want to upset the Jewish people, and he didn't want to upset the Roman government. So he played one off on the other. Been around people like that. They're just not really a person you would trust. And so politicians can be that way one time, speak out of both corners of their mouth. So, you know, Paul was in jail for another 2 years. And there's more to it than just that. But then, now Paul was hit in the mouth, sucker punch. And I'm sure he had a black eye and a bruised face because it was a violent punch from this priest. And then he was taken, of course, away because there was another riot that broke out. Well, Ananias at this time, the high priest, he was getting a little skittish because, you know, further up the ladder you go in society, people get a little scared when somebody starts to become popular and they don't like it. They don't like it. And that's the way it is with politicians, with people in government. Oh, look on the news. You know, voting's coming up and they're just doing everything they can to make the other guy look bad. Well, they want the position. They want the power. They thrive off of other people laughing with their jokes and everything else. But when it comes to the preaching of the Word of God, it's different. For Paul, it was different because of his truth done in love. It's different. And so there he was, and Paul said, you know what? I want to appeal this. I want to go appeal this to the governor. So they went all the way up to Caesarea. Remember that night? Quick review. 9 o'clock at night, they took 470 soldiers. They had the iron limousine. They had the Secret Service take Paul all the way up there. And so Paul went up there, and what happened next was is that now he had an audience with the governor. And well, sure enough, Ananias didn't like this either. He wanted Paul out of there as quick as possible because he was troubled. And then it says here in verse 1, it says, and after 5 days, Ananias, the high priest, descended with the elders and just and with a certain orator, which was a, you know, lawyer named Tertullus, who was informed of the governor against Paul. Now, you know, here we have a courtroom scene, and there you have the governor who's sitting in the judgment seat. He's making all the calls. Remember, he could have thumbs up, you live, or thumbs down. He had that kind of power. But he wasn't liked because the Jews were known for uprisings. A little bit of background about this man. This man was actually a slave. He was the only governor in Roman history that was actually a slave. And what happened was is that his brother was real close friends with Caesar at this time. So that goes to show you, it's all about who you know, right? In society at times, if you're a nobody, you get to know people that somebody knows somebody. So he got in with the government because his brother knew Caesar real well. Anyway, he was known as a horrible governor. He treated the Jews and the pagans likewise. When the Jews had a riot at one time, close to Paul's arrival there, they were killed. Thousands of them were killed in Caesarea at this time. This is the city they were in. And you had their homes, literally, they gave their homes away. You were in the riot, they killed, you know, say you killed your husband or somebody that you knew in your family. They come along and say, okay, you're out of here. House belongs to us now. It's ours. It's owned by the state. They did not mess around back in those days. Today, our laws are not really laws anymore. They're more like whatever the politicians say, which is not what our founding fathers meant, because our founding fathers came for that kind of garbage years ago in Europe. They understood that. That's why we need to uphold our Constitution. Really, they're going after that. So, then getting back here to Ananias, he was there with the elders and the priests. You notice they don't say anything. You let the lawyer say everything. Now, it's interesting. If you all remember the old sitcom, Perry Mason, remember years ago, the old TV sitcom? And it just give you an idea of the background. So Paul was going, he didn't ask for a lawyer. He had God on his side, and he's, you know, Paul spoke for himself. It's interesting. And we see here, the first thing the prosecutor did what was wrong. Listen to this. In verse 2, it says, when he was called forth, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, seeing by that we enjoy a great quietness, and that very worldly deeds and have done unto the nation by the providence, we accept it always, and that all places most noble Felix, with all thankfulness, notwithstanding that I be not further tenuous unto thee, I pray thee that thou wouldest hear us of thy clemency a few words. Well, by this time, Paul, I'm sure, had a big smile on his face. He was thinking, this fool up there is trying to butter me up. You ever had somebody try to butter you up, trying to flatter you? They're lying to you. They're trying to make you feel good, okay? And Paul was thinking, oh boy, you just had strike one go against you, you know? So it was a very foolish thing. And he says also at the very end, which put his foot in his mouth, he says, in just a few words. But that was more than just a few words. And Felix, I'm sure it was an insult to him, because here it is, this Jewish lawyer is coming to him. And after all he's done to the Jewish people, he knew the Jewish people didn't like him. He was like, you know, how dare you speak to me that way? Okay? Say, for what it's worth, right? Verse 5 says this. Now, here he goes. He's rushing into judgment against Paul. Remember, there's three or four points I'm going to make here. So if anybody ever accuses you for the name of Christ, if you're innocent and you're humble and you're being controlled by the Spirit, you got everything going for you. And nobody, they may send you to jail, kick you out, whatever, but you got everything going for you, because God can still use you. It says, verse 5, for we have found this man a pestilent fellow, and a mover of sedition. In other words, he was an insurrectionist. He was, trying with these riots. Remember, Paul never started them, okay? He started by some liars, some people set up. Now, remember, Felix, the governor, is not stupid. When you are in that kind of authority, he had spies, people checking out, coming back to him. Say, you know, these Jewish people are coming up to you, Felix. You know, this is what we're going to let you know. That's why kings had advisors. And when they got tired of the advisors, they used to have what was called jokers. Okay? You know, clowns, these kind of things running around in court just to make the king feel better. Because you know, these advisors, either it was good news or bad news. And I would not want to be the bearer of bad news with some of these kings. They could just chop your head off and say, I'm just having a bad day. Cut his head off, please. Okay? Well, with Paul had the boldness. He had the boldness of a lion. He did not care what other people had to say. He cared, and I'm telling you here this morning by the grace of God, care about what God thinks of you. Don't care about what other people think of you. If you care about what God thinks of you, then God will take care of the rest. He does. I've seen people change their minds over the years. I've seen God move in ways, and I'm sure we all have too. God can change kings' hearts. He can change people's hearts. Just keep our eyes on the Lord. It's very simple, but it's hard. So he's saying, you know, the accuser goes along. He never says anything good. And remember, don't let the devil beat you up too. And when you come to a point in your life where somebody accuses you of something and you're innocent, trust the Lord. And, you know, you did what was right, and move on in your mind. And if somebody wants to hold a grudge, forgive them. You're free. You have nothing to lose, nothing to hide. Paul had nothing to hide. Why would he? There's nothing to lie about. He didn't want Felix's bribe at the very end. That would have made him look guilty, right? So among all the Jews throughout the world, and a ringleader, he's saying this guy was from the Nazarite sect. It's like in Christianity what they call is a cult. Not a cult, because that's the totally opposite of Christianity. But there's like Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormons, and so on and so forth. They use dissect part of Christianity, and they build on a human philosophy, and then they call it God's Word, which is a bunch of baloney, as we call that years ago. So, one, he's called the riots. Two, he is a ringleader of this sect. And then we see verse 6, who hath gone about to profane the temple. Oh, my goodness, he brought a Gentile in there. And you know, Felix is thinking, now I'm here about Roman matters. Okay, I'm in court here dealing with society matters, not religious matters. remember, the Jews could do their own thing if they want to in their own courts, but they could not kill somebody, put somebody to death. Then that would have to go to the next step. And, you know, pretty much Felix was the next step. So whom you took, verse 6, and would have judged according to our law. They're saying, oh, you know, we were having such a rough time with this man, this terrorist, if you want to call it that, that we couldn't really do anything about this, so we're coming to you. They were lying through their teeth. They're the ones that started everything. You know, when people start a lie, they just drum up all kinds of accusations about us, and then they have nothing to stand on. You're kind of like standing or sitting there laughing to yourself. You think, where do these people come from? As long as we're right with the Lord, you know, we're very thankful, and there's nothing they can do to us. Verse 7, but the chief captain, Lysarius, went on to say, this orator, this lawyer, came upon us and with great violence took him away out of our hands. In other words, that's not what happened. You know, they're saying, oh, you know, Paul started this insurrection and you know, there was a threat to us. They're going to hurt us. And what happened was, it was a big lie. And of course, people knew that. But remember, there were no witnesses. Where are the witnesses? So it was a mocked court. It was. And so, verse 8 says, commanding his accusers to come unto thee by examining of whom thyself mayest take knowledge of all things, whereof we accuse him. Now he's making his main point. You know, here it is. Here's the evidence, judge. You know, oh, great one. And of course, Felix was looking right through the problems. He was like, he didn't get to be governor by being a fool. Verse 9, and the Jews also said it, saying that these things were so. And so, again, where are the witnesses? Verse 10, and Paul, after that, the governor had beckoned unto him to speak, answered, for as much as I know that thou hast been of many years the judge unto this nation. So number one, Paul saying, look, Felix, you've been here five years. Some people say 8 years. I think it's more around 5 years. So you know what's going on. Nobody's going to tell you anything new about the law, Felix. You know, Paul was straight with him. Number one, the best thing to do when you're being accused, just be straight, honest with the truth. There's no better medicine than the truth. And then it says here, and I do more cheerfully answer myself. So Paul was going to have a good time with this. You know, God can give us joy in the midst of trials. He can give us a joy that we can laugh at our enemies when we're on his side. You know, it's called the joy of the Lord, his strength. And we can smile, we can look at the devil, tell him, get behind us, we're moving on. You know, because the devil is cruel, he's mean. He wants to take us down on all fours, legs and arms, too. So, verse 11 says, because thou mayest understand that there are yet but 12 days since I went up to Jerusalem to worship. Do you realize it was only 12 days that Paul, it had been less than 2 weeks that Paul had arrived there in Jerusalem? All this had transpired. I'm sure his head was spinning. I'm sure we've had days where our heads are spinning. Things went by so quick. We got so much done. We're on a schedule. We're go, 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 go. And it's just like, Lord, you know, and then tomorrow, the next day, it's go, go, go. And you're like, I'm doing this unto the Lord. I'm praying. I need your strength. I need your help. I need your word to defend me, the sword of the Spirit. I need your shield of faith. Lord, I need the belt of truth. I need all the armor of God. I'm pressing on. I'm getting something done for the Lord. Like it says in James, that we don't just pray that work without faith is dead. So we need to keep our faith. And we do exercise that here. There are some times we can't be here for one another, but we pray. This is a very strong praying church. And so Paul was praying, and he says, look at verse 12. And they neither found me in the temple disputing with any man. That's number one. He wasn't disputing with anybody. Number two, he had been in the temple to take a vow, his Nazarite vow. That was a very special way for him to worship. Number three, neither rising up the people, neither in the synagogues nor in the city. He didn't start any riots. Why would he want to do that? If you want to have a riot, or have a riot for Christ, right? Start something, get something going on in the community. Start things happening where people start getting the Word of God. They start paying attention to the Spirit of God. And so it says, neither can, verse 13, they prove the things whereof they now accuse me. There's no witnesses. These are all false charges. And Theos was just like, you could see right through this. The man wasn't saved, but he was no fool either. He knew the difference between right and wrong. But he knew that Jewish people were trying to use him. And he was like, yeah, I got the, you ever heard that expression, I got this in my pocket? Yeah, I got this in my pocket. Or, you know, some leaders say, well, I got some people in my pocket, I can still use them. So he was like, yeah, I can still use, you know, these Jewish people. They're good for me because I want to keep my job, he's saying. Jewish people, and then, of course, with the Gentiles. He wants to keep the peace, but keep everybody happy. And in verse 14, but this I confess unto thee, that after the way, which they call heresy. Now, you know, the way, that was what Christians were called. You know, you had one church, and you had different parties of churches around, scattered around Europe at this time, around Jerusalem. They were everywhere, and they were called the way. So he heard about it, and after the way, which they call heresy, which was not heresy. And listen to this, it's so important, verse 14, and this really puts the nail in their coffin lid, these Jewish leaders. So worship I the God of my fathers, believe in all things which are written in the law and the prophets. So, verse 15, and have toward God, which they themselves also allow, and they shall be resurrected of the dead, both just and unjust. Verse 16, herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and to avoid towards men. And verse 17, now after many years I came to bring alms to my nations and my offerings. I'm just going to stop there. You know, he came for all the right reasons. He said, one, I came there to the temple to give my vows, to give to the poor. Remember the people that were starving because of the famine they had some years past? Remember the first missionary journey to the very last one was about 10 years? So he's saying, hey, well, I'm here to help. I'm also here because I believe in the Old Testament. I believe, remember the New Testament hadn't been written yet, but I am here because Jesus Christ fulfilled the Old Testament. He came and did all that. There is none righteous, no, not one. We'll see that in a minute here. I'm getting ahead of myself. So verse 17, then after many years I came to bring the alms of my nation to the offerings. Verse 18, whereupon the Jews from the Asia found me purified in the temple, neither with multitude nor with tumult. In other words, he's repeating what his defense was. So it would be clear to everybody, he didn't do what they were saying. It's always good to our accusers to come out clean and say word for word what happened. And if sometimes you don't get the words right, they got the meaning. Everybody pretty much knows what happened. Who ought to have been here before thee, and ought, if they have aught against me, or else let the saints here say, if they have found any evil doing in me, a wise stood before council. Now, this is very important. Don't lose this now. Felix is being witnessed to. Felix is hearing all this. Think about the hundreds and maybe thousands of people we witnessed to over the years. They know the truth. They heard it. They understand it. It reminds me of a friend of mine years ago. Probably don't even need to give this example. But, you know, I remember in Alaska, for example, pick one out of the bag. He says, you know, I really want to hear about what you have to say, Pastor Davis, and on and on and on. And, you know, he was training me to do this truck route. And when we were done, he was a police officer, and he was very well respected. And he says, well, you know, I like what you have to say. And he goes, you know, and then what blew my mind afterwards, my point is that he says, oh, by the way, I've heard things from Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons, because the devil's got his hands into everything, you know, politics, religion, the whole nine yards. And I looked at him. I was like, stuttered almost. He's like, what do you mean? He goes, well, I just wanted to hear what you had to say. I was just like, oh, let me tell you so and so. I said, you better be careful because you know the truth. And he laughed at me. He laughed at me. And I was just like, that's nothing to laugh about. I said, you're talking about God here. And he says, well, you take this too seriously. I was like, wow. So you never know who you witness to. It could be a police officer. It could be somebody in the government. You get all kinds. There are all kinds out there. All kinds of flavors of people. But, you know, respect people and, you know. You never know who you're going to witness to. But Felix, he was hearing all this. Keep in the back of your mind. When we're witnessing to people, people are listening. People are watching. Verse 21. Except for this one voice, I cried, standing amongst, touching the resurrection of the dead, I am called to question you by from this day. In other words, he's saying the resurrection. How important that is for us. Without a resurrection, we would have no faith. You know? Because a lot of these religions believe in reincarnation, believe in something else. And so we're looking forward to it one day. Verse 22 says, and when Felix heard these things, having more a perfect knowledge of the way, that means it matured. He knew perfectly what was being said. He deferred them. You ever witness to somebody and they get real quiet? You can't hear a pin drop. That's the Holy Spirit working in them. That's my interpretation of it. That's the Holy Spirit working in them. And you're just like, I'm waiting, Lord, do something. And most of the time, nothing happens because they're putting it off or they're thinking about it, they're praying about it. It's like, okay, let me think about this more. Thank you. Okay, and that's when I back off because it's God does the salvation. And he says, having a more perfect knowledge of the way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the utmost of your matter. In other words, he's putting it off. He's saying, look, wait till Lysias. He was there. He saw what was going on. I'm sure in the back of his mind, he was like, oh my goodness, I need to think about this because the man was not living a moral life. We'll look at that in a minute here. And verse 23, and he commanded the centurion to keep Paul, to let him have liberty, and he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister to come unto him. So he was worldly wise, worldly wise. He was like, on one hand, I'm going to keep these people happy. On the other hand, I'm going to keep these people happy. He was worldly wise, as my dad used to call it, worldly wise. And so he would be under house arrest, and he would be able to have friends come to him. You know, you look at some of these prisoners nowadays, they're under house arrest, and they got it pretty bad. Some of them, I think they shouldn't have had house arrest. They should have gone into jail, but that's not for me to judge, not to call the shots. This verse 24 says this, and then after certain days when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. So, you know, he's thinking, well, you know, he might have had a slow day. He might have had a slow day in his court. He might have thought, well, you know what? We have nothing else better to do today. Let's just go. You know, he brought his wife along. And by the way, she was a trophy wife, and sometimes we have trophy husbands too, and people marry for all the wrong reasons. And history tells that, you know, it did not go well for Felix with her, but this is the third marriage. Again, there's nothing wrong with being remarried as long as one that you have two, you're equally yoked and the other person dies, and as we know this in church. But, oh my goodness, well, you know, they had nothing else better to do, and God knew what was going on, and Felix was there with his 14-year-old wife. And back in those days, he used to marry real early, too, right after puberty. So it was nothing weird or perverted about it. That's just the way they did things. So it was like, okay, let's give this guy named Paul, let him entertain us. Let's see what he has to say. But Felix was setting himself up. He didn't realize what he was in for. And we have to be careful, especially we pray for the unsaved, but, you know, it works both ways. We have to be careful as Christians not to set ourselves up. But then number two, we have to pray that we can set the unsaved up that they will hear the gospel. In other words, what I'm trying to say is it will be available. Will be available to give the hope for the faith that lies within us. With all meekness, strength under control, and fear, godly fear. I'm telling you this, so-and-so, you know, by the grace of God, I was saved. And, you know, and use your words, choice with choice. And realize that, you know, I'm nothing, God's everything, you know, that kind of approach. And then it says, verse 25, here comes the sermon Paul has to bring. It's three parts. Number one, verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, you know, God's righteous. And Felix, it doesn't matter what anybody says, the Holy Spirit, when it convicts you, gets a hold of you, you're going to tremble. You're going to think. You're going to say, okay, I need to pay attention to this. God is righteous. Now, Felix is unsaved. He doesn't say anything about his wife, which is kind of interesting, because maybe his wife didn't want to hear. Maybe her conscience was seared. I don't know. Number one is righteousness. Number two is temperance. It's self-control. And there was so much, I'm not going to get into that because it's not part of the sermon. So many things said about these two and their backgrounds and all. Historians said it was not worth speaking about evil. But there was that, the self-control, righteousness. And third, there was the judgment to come. You know, when you get convicted, there is nothing that can block that. The Holy Spirit will convict you. And if you're right with God, and if you're not living right with God, that's one thing. But for the unsaved, that was like, oh, you know, I've had people, this one guy, his true story that I witnessed to, and the wife came to me years ago, and she says, my husband is still crying to this day because he rejected the Lord. I said, what are you talking about? I said, you know, he thinks it's too late to get saved. And because he said no about the Lord, he said no to other people about the Lord. He felt like it was God's condemnation upon him. And he went home and he died. We don't know if he was saved or not. It was a tragedy. But my point is the fear of God should put a shake in your boots, in our boots, you know? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. So the judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way for this time, for I have a convenient season. He was like, Paul, get out of here. I don't want to hear any more you have to say. I'm done with this. Go. I'm enjoying my pleasure of sin for a season. I have my wife here. We're doing okay, and I'm trying to move up the ladder in this world. And some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You tried to witness the people, and they're just like, oh, please go away. I had people getting angry at me because of my truck out there, because the scripture verse is on. They get angry because they don't want to see it. It convicts them. It's the word of God. It's not the truck. Out of our voices, our spirit, people get angry because they don't want to hear what we have to say. Christians living in sin are angry at me because they don't want to come to church and know they're doing wrong, and they get angry at me because, in love, I'm telling them, hey, you know, this is what I represent. No, we don't want to hear that. Anything but what you have to say, Pastor Davis, or many of you here. They don't like you. They put up, they tolerate you, but they don't like you. And it's verse 26. And then he hoped also to have money that he would give him to Paul, and he might lose him. Therefore, he sent him the oftener and commuted with him. So in other words, it's okay, Paul, you know, you're out of here. You're out of sight, out of mind. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to try to bribe you, because that's what they used to do. Let me close with this. Bribing would have made Paul look guilty. Nothing can equate to our salvation, nothing. Because we are sound and we are sealed with the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 1. There's 15 or 16 points. Read that sometime in Ephesians 1, how we're blessed in all heavenly places. Oh my goodness. And then he tries to bribe Paul. It doesn't work. And he's thinking to himself, well, everybody else does it. Why can't Paul do it? And Paul, we can even let you out. Don't ever take a bribe from anybody. I'm saying this, well, of course I wouldn't. People can bribe you with their words, with their looks. People can bribe you. Oh, it's so slick. It's so evil. People could try all kinds of ways to try to bribe you. You had to give in to them. Don't. Okay? Have the mind of Christ. Have the mind of Christ. Be wary, like the saying goes, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. Keep those enemies real close to you because you know the way they think. And then you're protected. And keep your friends close. That's okay. And then after 2 years, Pontius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul. In other words, 2 years had gone by, Paul had been in jail. Poor Paul. You know, being in jail for something he didn't do. And what happened was, it was time for Felix to go back to Rome because the Caesar there, Claudius, said it's time to go back because we heard some bad things about you, so we're going to take you back. And Felix, you know, he was just trying to keep the peace, but it doesn't last for long. When you're working both sides against each other or for each other, it doesn't last long. You got to be careful. I'm just saying this. Don't ever try to use one person off on the other. We used to tell our kids that, you know. Don't play off of one another's mommy and daddy because you lose all the time. You know, you come back and tell daddy that, you know, you're in trouble, that or mom, and you're playing one off on the other. But Felix didn't work with the government because he had his spies, but guess what? Caesar had his spies. See how it's like a web of death for these people? And Christ, we have love. We were talking about that in Sunday school. You know, you can't keep on giving. You can't stop giving love. Because love, number one, doesn't expect anything in return. Number two, it always looks at the glass halfway full. And number three, it sets you free. And so there was Paul. And the politicians went on with their games. But Paul was innocent. And today, we are innocent through the blood of Christ. And today, before we take the Lord's Supper, we are innocent before Him because of what His Son did for us. Do you realize we'll be looking at Christ's pierced hands and feet for the rest of eternity? We'll be looking at His resurrected body, and we'll have a resurrected body like Him too. And we'll be able to eat and drink, you know, because like Christ did, just, we can't give, we can't marry. Can't do that. Okay. So it's just going to be wonderful and beautiful at that time. You know? And at this time, we ought to, I'm going to say one more thing, because I've got to say this. About the unsaved, you need to pray. You need to pray for those who are not saved. Remember, Felix was just like Pilate. Oh, I'm concerned about what other people are going to say. You know? People are always paranoid. They're always nervous about what somebody else is going to think of them. Don't worry. As Christians, we don't have to worry about that. You don't. Older saints, I can hear your voices. I'm free. You get around some gray-haired saints or white-haired saints or whatever saints, and you know what? They're free. You can sense it in their voices, their spirit. It's just like they are the coolest, as the kids say, the coolest people will be around. Wonderful. As we have in our church and those online and those praying for us. Anyway, so, you know, we don't need to be like Felix or like Pontius Pilate. Always afraid, you know, what he did with Jesus.